is extremely important, the subject of divine healing. This is a theme that has been of great interest to me for many years, as most of you know, because of my own experiences through the years, from the time of birth and to the time of young adulthood, the theme of divine healing. I suppose that I have been exposed, as much as almost anybody you would know, to all of the various practices that seem to exist these days on the subject of divine healing. Sooner or later, illness and disease and injury and physical disability are going to be a part of the life of every person. Even these young people over here who are in their teens have to be aware of the fact that sooner or later, disease and injury and illness and disability are going to be part of their lives as well. A month ago, at the end of a Sunday morning service, when I had spoken that morning about the fact that how we deal with problems will be determinative in life, because problems and trouble are part of life, a young couple introduced themselves to me, a couple who had just begun to attend our church. I think that was either their first or second Sunday to be here. And at the end of the service, they made a comment or two about the message and what I had said. The following Sunday, the same couple came to me in the concourse of the church and said, "We never had any idea at all last Sunday how much we were going to need this week what you were saying in the sermon last Sunday morning." Because, the young man explained, this week, completely unexpectedly on my part, my job was terminated. And suddenly, for the first time in our lives, we are confronted with trouble and problem that was very important. And this evening, I want to say to you what I have already said. Sooner or later, it may be this week, it may be next month, it may be next year, it may be a ways down the way of life, illness and disease are going to be a part of life for every one of us, almost certainly. Should we believe and are we to expect that those experiences of life are normally going to be met by miraculous healing? That's the question that I want to present before us this evening. Should we understand that miraculous and physical healings are to be expected as common and normative and usual in life? We see, each of us sees constantly, and by means of television, and certainly encounter through means of our personal experiences, people who are teaching that today. And they are presenting the concept that the church should be involved constantly in a ministry of miraculous divine healing. And so the question that I am raising before us tonight is whether or not that is biblically what we are to expect in life. At the beginning of the message this evening, I want to make it clear that I believe that miraculous healings occur. I believe that God does do that. What I shall be presenting to you this evening should not ever be misunderstood to imply that I am not persuaded that miraculous healing occurs and that God does heal. But rather, the question that I am bringing before us tonight is the question of normal, usual, continuous, ongoing, regular, miraculous, divine healing as the answer to the to the illnesses and diseases and injuries of life. Some people say yes, and they give four reasons. If they are thoughtful, they give four reasons why they believe that miraculous divine healing is to be a normal, ongoing, regular experience in the Christian's life. It is going to be my intention and hope that in these two Sunday nights, I will discuss with you two or three of those reasons which are offered for those who say that that is to be expected. The first of these, and perhaps the most important, is because of the way Jesus healed during his earthly life. Jesus constantly, miraculously healed. Everyone who reads the Gospels is well aware of the fact that the Gospels are filled with the records of Jesus' miraculous healing. They were continual. They were constant. They were regular. They were a part of the daily work and life of Jesus. And because of the way Jesus constantly healed, there are many who believe that that indicates his intention and his purpose and his desire in our lives today. Let's look this evening at two or three brief passages of Scripture that will direct our thoughts to this issue. In your New Testament, if you will open to John's Gospel, chapter 20, I would like to read in the 30th verse of the chapter and also at verse 31. Many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Two things I want to pause and say about that opening sentence in the 30th verse of that chapter. The first of those is the statement that there were multitudes of the same kind of thing Jesus did, which have not even been written down. And the second thing is that these things that Jesus did, so numerous that they could not all even be recorded, are called signs. If you read the New Testament, if you read the Gospels, you will discover a very significant thing about Jesus' miraculous healings. Most of the time that Jesus performed miraculous healings, the word that is used in the Bible to refer to them is this word, signs. In the New Testament, there are two words that are sometimes used to refer to Jesus' miraculous healings. One of those words is a word, dunamis, which means an act of power or a mighty work. That word is used occasionally of the miraculous healings Jesus did. But the word that is used in the New Testament about Jesus' miraculous healings most commonly is this word in that 30th verse, many other signs. When Jesus healed the blind, when Jesus healed the sick, when Jesus healed the disabled, most of the time, the word that is used about that is this word, he did a miraculous sign. It's very important to note that. And verse 31 in the chapter that we are reading continues to say, "But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So we're going to discover this evening, in the moment we shall read another passage or two that will indicate this, that the healings that Jesus continually did were declared to be for the purpose of a sign to His identity as the promised Son of God in flesh, incarnate. And that in the performing of the continual miraculous healings, that Jesus was doing it specifically because it was the sign of His incarnate person. Let me ask that you will look with me to the second chapter of Acts. And in the second chapter of Acts, at verse 22, we have some of the words which Peter preached in the sermon on the day of Pentecost. This was 10 days after Jesus had ascended. This was 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. And on this occasion, as Peter preached in Jerusalem, 10 days after the Lord had gone away, in the sermon he preached that day, he said these words, verse 22, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the plan and foreknowledge of God." Peter, in the sermon that day, declared that the miraculous healings, the miraculous deeds which Jesus continually did in the days of his earthly life, were specifically for the purpose of being signs of his person. They identified him to the people of his generation as being the one whom God had promised through the Old Testament prophets. And when he came and he did unending miraculous deeds, the purpose of those was that they should mark him off as God incarnate with them. They were not done to indicate that that was what God's intention was to do and is to do throughout the history of the people of God. The miraculous healings of Jesus were not performed as an example of what God desired to do and what God expected to do and Jesus intended to do through the ages of time. They are not a sample of how God plans and wants to work in life throughout the ages. Instead, they were unique physical miracles of healing which Jesus did that identified him as the Savior, the Messiah. They were signs. And Peter made it clear in his sermon that day. And therefore, the first reason which many people offer as the reason to believe that God's people today should expect daily and continuously and usually and normally a multitude of physical healings that are miraculous, because that's the way Jesus worked in the days of his flesh, is not the answer that the New Testament gives. The healings of Jesus are not indicative of what he planned to do throughout the ages of time. It is true, however, that we have the word of the New Testament that says this: in everything by prayer let your request be made known to God. We certainly are invited in everything to commit to God our need. And in the wonderful sovereignty of God, who knows best, and in the great wisdom of God, who sees everything, there are those times when God will be pleased because someone asks. I believe he at times will be pleased because they have asked to do that which is the unusual and the exceptional. There are times when a child of God asks God, and in his great wisdom and sovereignty, it will please him to do the miraculous. But the life and the work of Jesus in his great healings is not given to us in the New Testament as an indication of what God normally expected to do in our lives. Let us pray for God's blessing upon these truths. Our Father, teach us to be people of faith who look to you in everything, trusting you and asking of you always, understanding that it will often be good in your sight to do the exceptional. And give to us that expectation and that hope, but also help us to understand the word of Scripture aright. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.